All these times of complete sin, you can't even tell people. In the masjid, you can't tell people anything. You see them how they haphazardly they perform the salat also. You tell them, they get affronted, become annoyed. Okay. You must tell the person that is not right, not correct. They become annoyed. So must keep a pride in people. We just can't tell anyone anything now. Everyone is a mustay. Yes, if you save him monetarily, save him, then you'll be thankful to him. But if you save him, is akhirat, then he becomes your enemy. It's takabur, pride in people, I think. There's no reason someone correct you. You must be thankful and grateful. It has corrected you and saved you from punishment from Allah Ta'ala for doing something which is wrong. Because in Akhirat, ignorance of the ahkam of the law won't be accepted as an excuse. Once committed a wrong, on issues, daily issues, salat and taharat, etc., this kind of thing, and you do it wrongly, then that's the sin in itself. And then ignorance is another sin. It's a double sin. Because you are supposed to learn all the Messiah. Talibul ilm farizatun ala kulli muslimin, as Rasul said. The quest or the search for knowledge is compulsory upon every Muslim, compulsory. So they have to acquire the knowledge. But no, as a routine, it's not regarded. It's not given primary importance. It's a secondary. Whereas pertaining to worldly affairs, you see people, they go out of their way in order to learn the rule, the law, what the law says on this issue. Because they will know the problems for them. If you don't know your worldly laws. But they say the Akhir is very far for all of us. The Akhir is very far, far, far away. It's something, just something queer, peculiar, whether they exist or not. People, the reaction, the manner in which they react, it conveys that there's no belief that thing in Akhir. No belief in what's going to take place in the Qabr, etc. For that reason, there's so much this careless attitude, lax attitude. You take part in the deen, well, that should be of primary importance, and all your dunya affairs should be of secondary importance. But it's now the other way around. And the thing is, that is very informative. Even the Sultan also in the masjid, if he makes something wrong, the fuqaha reprimand him. And then some of the sultans, they were getting severely persecuted, the ulama, with the Amr al-Ma'ruf, because the pride can't take it. One sultan was cruel. Anyone speaks against him or point out to him his wrongs in terms of the Sharia, then he imprisoned him in such a place, like a concrete structure, like a hut, you can see, and enclose him in there. And no air will go in there, nothing. They will lock him in that sort of a dungeon. And after a month, he'll go just take his skeleton out. So this tiny one buzuk also who criticized the Sultan, it's haram. So they arrested him, they put him here, lock him up there. After a month, he told him, I was told him to check up, took the skeleton out. No, before a month, someone came to report to Sanjali, that man, the sheikh who was in prison, we saw him walking in a bazaar. So they went. And he checked, he's not inside there. Yet there's no way of knowing, window, no door, no, nothing. Everything is what the one outlet completely sealed from outside, and not even air can go in. So the man, policemen, arrested him in the town. He brought him to bring him on, brought him in front of the Sultan. So the Sultan asked the thing, him, who did they think let you out? So the person said, the one who put me in. Who did put you in? The one who let me out. Then I said, who let you out? He said, the one who put me in. And who put you in? The one who let me out. He said, sir. And so I knew, we can't do anything to you. You may imagine, it's almost as strong as the talk. It means Allah put me in there, as you, and Allah took me out. He put me in and put me out. Same one, same purpose, that thing is. So that thing is, the yaqeen was that. Fifteen of those old yard of different type. So I say for Amr bin Ma'ruf, the ulama, the fuqaha suffer a lot. Imam Humbal was flogged 100 lashes by the Khalifa Ma'mun for his beliefs. Propagate Imam Humbal, teach Aqidah against what the Khalifa was believing. So the thing is, they arrested Imam Ahmed bin Humbal, and he was tied, they tied him up. And he had this lungi on. And he was flogged out. And finally died in not the same time. He died in bed, I think, as a result of the wounds, severe flogging. So while he was tied up and he was flogging him, his lungi became loose. And he was about to fall out when two hands from the ghaib came and tied him. So two hands came just from the air and tied up his lungi. Then the Khalifa let him off. In his marital mouth, deathbed, and somebody asked him, I think, what is your opinion about Ma'mun? Ma'mun is the Khalifa who ruled. See, and I think, what did you say about this Khalifa? So I look at Imam Humbal, what did he say? He said, Ma'mun, he punished me and he had me flogged because he's a sincere Khalifa. He is under the impression that what I'm teaching it is wrong. So I see that he will be rewarded by Allah Ta'ala. He will be rewarded by Allah Ta'ala because he did it for the sake of the deen. He thought that the belief which I'm teaching is wrong, and what his sheikhs told him, that is the right belief. So I think that he did it in sincerity for the sake of the deen. So by Allah Ta'ala it will be clear. No malice in the heart. These were people, were great people. They were embodiments of ikhlas and humility. Whatever they did was only purely for Allah Ta'ala's sake. Nothing. Everything they did was for the nafs. And stuck by Imam. Humble Ramadan's taqwa was accepting it high caliber. He would not eat bread. He used to be in Baghdad from the wheat which was grown in Baghdad. Now anything was grown in Baghdad, the flour would come from another city, the city of Mosul, and break that thing. I said, why? Because he said, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and made the whole Baghdad waqf for the Mujahideen. So whatever is there, it belongs to the Mujahideen. Whoever's in jihad is for them. But later, all that's gone, everyone, the kings have taken all the place for themselves, and it's now no more like that. The death is actually in Baghdad, it's waqf. So you don't need anything from waqf. His son, Imam Muhammad Rahmatullah's son, was a very great Ali and a very great Wali also. But Imam Muhammad Rahmatullah was a bit annoyed with him. Why? Because he had taken for a short while the post of a Qazi. He was a Qazi. And he used to get a salary from the Baitul Mal. And how he used to be in it, when he was the Qazi, his son, then when he came to in the city by the Baghdad, for the Qazi, they have big mansions and everything. No. So then he said, no, you're on the street, outside, on the street, looking for me up a room, small room outside, on the main street. And his door was 24 hours open. Anytime, night and day, at the public or anywhere, if I must stay in this mansion here, how the public won't have access to me? Yeah. I see the thing. And you would only accept the days, for example, if there were no cases, then that amount of money you would deduct from yourself and send it back to the man. There were so many hours, so many days, there was no work, that thing. And afterwards he gave that also up, that thing. Okay. Now one Imam Muhammad Rahmatullah, the one who used to bake his bread, brought the bread to him. And Imam Muhammad, he looked at the bread and he said, my heart doesn't feel like, tell me that, which flower did you see? Your own flower I've used. But he felt something wrong with the bread. He said, so now the cook also understood this taqwa. Imam said, I used your flour, but the yeast was finished. So I got this from your son, the son of yours. He said, I told him something is wrong with the bread. No, this son was a very good, I said, buzuk himself. But still, because that thing, he said, according to Imam Muhammad Ramadan, he had accepted that wages from the Baitul Mal. And the money of the Baitul Mal is always contaminated, he says, because the sultans levied in that time period haram tax on people also. Yeah. And the money also got mixed up in the Baitul Mal. So he said, no, I can't eat this bread. So what must I do with the bread? He said, must I give it to the fakir? The cooks asked. He said, you can give it to on condition to a fakir. Tell the fakir, the flour is. He said, how much is the Nehemiah flower? And the yeast is his son's yeast. So then tell him, I said, if the cookie wants it, then you can give it to him. So the cookie left in the bread. For 1 month, not a single fakir came. Then he said, Imam Sahib, the beans are already green. One month, he threw it in the river. Maybe the fish will eat it. So he threw it in the river. So just like a taqwa, these people there. Different type of people, different breed of people they were. There's no comparison. We can't, our minds boggled, we can't even understand them. Think of think of following them. At least we've got to understand what they did was right. So we don't, cover up for our own weaknesses. We don't cover up for our own weaknesses. No, there's different ways. People, definitely different people, but that is the right way. That's why they were so successful. Yeah. That's why they were Sahaba ruled the world, because they were like that. And we are not like this, but that's, we are slaves of the kuffar now. Yeah. They are all dominating, because we are not like that. If we were like that, then we would have been dominating. Yeah. So that is a simple answer there. That we are not like them, for that reason, that thing, Allah has made the kuffar our rulers.